Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. As always, everybody, stay safe, stay strong, and stay informed. We've got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Zachary Thomas, it's always great to have podiatry on. The tennis pro doc. He's a podiatric foot-ankle surgeon. He'll join me. And then a little bit later, Kim Ryan, figure skating coach, spin specialist. She's the creator of the innovative Spinergy. Then the sports doctor's in, a little bit of an update, couple emails. First, Dr. Zachary Thomas, welcome to the sports doctor.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Great. Give us a little bit of a quickie background on you and the podiatry and the tennis pro doc.
Well, I started off in high school and college teaching tennis. I played tennis in college, and then I went to podiatry school, and I had always wondered if I should have stayed teaching tennis and coaching tennis and playing tennis. And, you know, podiatry school, residency, trying to start my practice out. And then a few years went by, and I started seeing all these people come into me with foot and ankle and leg problems that I used to play tennis with, or I used to teach tennis or coach tennis. And I thought, you know, I could probably make a little niche out of this. And, you know, there's a lot of things medical for tennis players that are pretty unique, just like a runner, a lacrosse player, anything like that.
Oh, big time. You know,
and go ahead.
You know, it's interesting. People who have heard the sports doctor over the years, I don't want to date myself, but I go back with the McEnroe, Tracy Austin. We were involved in the top of the world in tennis, and the role of the foot always was such a big deal, whether it's mm-hmm. their shoe, whether it's all the strengthening, et cetera. So, you know, I always thought that sports podiatry and tennis, and, you know, a couple times a year, Dr. Zach, we have a contest on which athletes or which sports require the best athletes. And always right up there is tennis, how physical it's become.
Oh, I mean 100%. You're just using every muscle in your body. And that, you know, that's kind of why these people require so much special attention. And I was writing books for these people at the end of their appointments of what to do. And I finally said, I should just put this in a website so everyone can just go to it. So I don't have to keep writing this stuff down. And that's kind of how Tennis Pro Doc came to be. So,
yes. And it's what's interesting, the tremendous emphasis I've had on the sports doctor for years in youth sports. That's why I co-authored the book, #HeySportsParents, because of the epidemic, capital letters, of overuse. And abuse problems physically and mentally with some of these young players. And I include in the book what I call the prodigy sports, where these kids play only one sport as they're growing up. You sound like you might have been an example, but tennis is one of them, where we'll see these 10, 11, 12-year-olds that are playing 5-6 days a week. Again, you know, the role of the foot and the relationship on the rest of the body, it then becomes a big deal. The sports doctor, we're huge proponents of orthotics and their role. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's going back to that. When I was coming up, I played about four sports. I graduated high school in 2004. And back, you know, at that point, kids
yes.
really weren't playing one sport all the time.
True.
You
had a lettuce sweater.
Yeah, yeah, right? I ran
exactly.
I ran track. I played football. I played tennis. I did a bunch of stuff. And, you know, at least in my practice right now, it is a real slog sometimes to try to convince parents that at 8 years old, their kid probably isn't
yes.
going to be Ken Griffey. He's not going to be Roger Federer. She's not
yes.
going to be Serena Williams. And I've seen in kids now, which should never happen, I've seen more tibial stress fractures, fibular stress fractures and these kids from doing these repetitive sports, I never thought I would see that in the volume that I do. But it's an epidemic in this country, because you don't really see that in Europe right now, because they're playing, they're doing so many things, you know.
Now, we, you know, as doctors and therapists, trainers, of course, highly recommend to parents and coaches, we want your boy and girl to play other sports. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We want to use different parts of the body. And that's great, unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater or even in some cases a tennis player. And that's what you want to do. And we then run into, like what you're talking about, we call them repetitive motion injuries. You know, imagine the tennis player swinging the racket 10,000 times a week the same
right.
way. And the famous sports trainer who really brought me involved with all those great tennis players I mentioned to you, Dr. Zach, Bob Guida, he'd say strengthen the opposites, right? So strengthen those muscles that are working opposite directions, but it isn't, it's not ideal, and it definitely is a dramatic challenge. Again, in podiatry, many times we see, you know, we're talking about, you know, what is the best shoe for this kid or for their
right.
parents, et cetera. And a lot of times we see, we talk on the sports doctor all the time, half the people aren't even fit properly in this day and age. So it's a tremendous surge. What part of the country, where are you? Where are you, Dr. Zach?
I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
And
you know, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, we're not the biggest tennis mecca in the world, but we do have a pretty strong, you know, community of players. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And tennis is, you know, people play till they're 75, 80 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I have a gal who's 82 years old. She plays once or twice a week. You know, it's one of my great achievements. We've kept her on the court with those sore calluses. And, you know, 95% of sports medicine is not surgical. So many times we see those situations are not paid as much attention to. What's the website, Dr. Thomas, that people could find out about the Tennis Pro Doc?
It is tennisprodoc.com. Just all one word, tennisprodoc.com.
That's a great title.
Yeah, you know, my wife came up with it on an airplane back from Lake Tahoe. I didn't know what to name it.
That would do it.
Yes. Yeah, she was the one that came up with it.
Yes. Well, I think it's a great title. And again, you know, everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back 10 years. Before that, I think we did Reel to Reel. And you could see the guests, the topics from all over the world, from nutrition to concussions to all sorts of topics like we're talking today, where we're talking in my sports podiatry world. And I can't tell you how many guests I get on Twitter and LinkedIn. And Dr. Zachary Thomas is a great example. You know, it really caught my eye, the podiatrist, the tennis pro doc. So you could check us out at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. You know, you mentioned those stress fractures. Again, these tremendous, just too much, too aggressive in so many different areas. When you start talking about the recreational players, I'm sure, what are some of the common problems you see in active people who are trying to stay on the tennis court foot-ankle-wise?
So it's kind of a dichotomy between dermatology and orthopedics. So you've got, I'd say probably the number one thing I see is plantar fasciitis and Achilles tendonitis, just because of how a tennis serve is hit and how you move on the court. It's a lot of bouncing, so you get a lot of jumper's knee too. And then the other thing is ingrown toenails. I can't tell you how I didn't think, so when I went to residency, I trained, I thought I was going to be putting total ankle replacements in every day. And
right.
I never thought that being in my practice, being so heavy into sports medicine, which is, I'd say at this point, it's probably 40% of my practice is tennis players. And if you would have told me you're going to be busting out toenails every day as part of like a sports medicine practice, I don't think I would have made that connection. But I would say it's 99% someone comes up to me I'm playing next to on a court saying, if this tonal doesn't come out, I'm going to take a bridge. And so it's a lot
of
that.
Stopping and starting. Stopping and starting and changing direction is a big deal. I used to say to my very good friend who owns salons and they do pedicures, and I would tell her, you got to pay attention to what I would call a sports pedicure, which is at least to include, if it's not a real dramatic problem that needs podiatry, where some of these, regardless of the sport, at least would get some of the toenails clipped in that. But that is something that we've also seen, regardless, which is, again, like you said, you thought you might be doing all sorts of different kinds of surgery, and then you find out that the ingrown toenails are such a problem. And then educating these athletes on how to stay out of trouble, don't pick on them, go see podiatry, et cetera, is sometimes a major situation, because don't kid yourself, problems with ingrown toenails, almost always with the big toes, are a hassle. They're uncomfortable. Many times they could stop you from playing whatever the sport is, and they're fairly easily treated, right?
Yeah, I mean, it takes get the injection, it takes 20 seconds to get it out. And so it's a lot simpler than people make it out to be, because I see a lot of people, they're waiting 2, 3, 4 weeks because they think, we're going to have to do this big operation on them, and then they're looking at me like I have three heads when everything's done within a minute and a half. And so it's kind of funny watching the response, and typically they're back playing, within a couple of days, maybe a day, so it's really kind of interesting seeing, but it's also just a product that, a tennis shoe, a court shoe is just a lot different than other shoes that we're allowed to recommend to people. Because if I have a runner to someone that's training, I'm really recommending a different kind of shoe than what they manufacture for a tennis court, just because it's this. The way you make a tennis shoe on the court, you have to make it with a pretty hard lateral flange on the outside of your foot so you don't roll your ankle. And that does kind of push your big toe into the front part of the shoe. And that's kind of how we get a lot of those ingrown toenails too. So it's just kind of letting people know about that too.
Yeah, you let them know to use a little Vaseline before they play forever. You'll get rid of 90% of the problems in that situation.
100%.
But at the junior level, again, we're talking some extreme athletics. Over the years, we had to teach the world that especially in the young females, half those knee problems are foot-related. They are excessive torque, wider hips, biomechanics, and we would start to see many times that adding podiatry to the mix with the therapy, the strengthening, other kinds of exercises combined with orthotics. I never had a tennis coach tell me that we slowed the guy down with orthotics, ever. When I think years, the concern is the over-the-counter junk many times that people are looking to maybe use. I'm a huge advocate also, Dr. Zach, I don't care what your level is in tennis, strengthen those feet and ankles. Do you agree?
100%, just because ankle sprains are so common in the sport. And if you don't have a pretty strong, lower leg muscle group, you're going to sprain, you're going to strain. I see a lot of gastroc strains. The lower leg is pretty darn important, especially if you want to play the game at any bit of a moderate to high level. You will suffer if you neglect just the basic strengthening things,
And that's why and I'll tell you a funny story. You got like a minute or so left. I'm going to ask you for your website. But back in the McEnroe days, the Tracy Austin days, dating myself, tennis players never worked out. Lift weights? What are you, crazy? Strengthening? I'll play more tennis. And that's been this tremendous shift many times in approach to some of these players. Runners, I also put them in the same category. You couldn't get a runner to do any strength training. Now it's overkill, in so many different areas. So how long have you been in practice, Dr. Zach?
I'm going into my sixth year of private practice, so I've been at this 5 years.
Oh, man, yeah, you're one of these young dudes, absolutely.
I'm still pretty green, yeah.
Well, hey, you know, the podiatric surgeon coming out of school today. Where'd you go to school?
I went to the Ohio College for
okay, yes.
Kent State
Great
College of Podiatric Medicine.
Yes, the training is fantastic. Again, and the role of podiatry in sports medicine, whatever the sport is, again, is huge when we're starting to talk about the only two things anybody cares about in athletics, which is number one, can you keep me from getting injured and having problems? And for those, number two is, you know, can you make me a step or two quicker? Can I be a better athlete? Can I be, more explosive, especially when you're talking about some of these top juniors? I always ask you, when you're talking about some of these players, how's your sports psychology skills with the coaches and parents?
I'm a little more blunt than some other doctors are with some parents. Just because I'm a parent myself, and my dad was with me a lot when I was playing. So my dad's a huge tennis player, and he's kind of the reason, you know, I stuck with it so long, because him and I bonded with it, and it was a big thing for us. And he never once pressured me to train more, play more, focus more on
tennis. Great example.
Yeah, wanted me.
That's
to,
a great example that we try to really, you know.
Right.
Make these changes in the crazy overkill world of youth sports. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Yep. Zachary Thomas. He is the Tennis Pro Doc. Give me that website again, Doc.
Website is tennisprodoc.com. That's TennisProDoc.com.
Great. I want to thank you so much. And you hold on quickly. We're going to be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
Thanks again.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, welcome back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Everybody knows how I get excited when I'm talking in the world of figure skating, and I'm excited to have Kim Ryan join me. She's a national, international figure skating coach. She's a spin specialist, along with her very, very good friend, Sheila Seelan, the women in the world of spinning. She's the creator of this Spinergy. So, Kim Ryan, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
give us some background on you and Spinergy and figure skating. Give us some background.
Okay. Yeah, I've been teaching for over 45 years, and I've been teaching spins, just specializing in spins, for the last 15 years. My spin clientele got greater than my everything clientele, so I went, maybe I should specialize in this. And coaches started asking me to teach their students, and I ended up having a great rapport with all of the coaches all over the world, so it's been pretty exciting. I needed my skaters to train harder, better, work on spending more time at spinning since we had a limited amount of ice time on the ice. So I developed this spin board for some off-ice spin training, which has been just an outstanding asset during these times where everybody is at home in place, giving skaters the ability to work on they can work on jumps and calisthenics, but actual skating skills are really hard to work on without being in skates and gliding. So the spin board is a very great, good avenue for them to end up working on all of their skating skills. They can do everything they can do on the ice on these spin boards. So I I did a lot of research to figure out which one would be the best, and this is it.
I thought it was so innovative when I saw one of your videos. I couldn't even tell there was anything under her shoe initially.
Yes.
So I looked even harder, you know, the semicircle almost like piece of apparatus you could spin on. Now, those, again, who follow the sports doctor know that I'm always bragging. I just celebrated my 10th anniversary with Evan Lysacek, who grew up here in Naperville, Illinois, and went on to become the 2010 men's gold medalist, figure skating gold medalist. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. And the athleticism and the spinning that we've seen, the incredible athleticism, definitely is a skill in order to be able to enhance those types of activities. And so this was something that between you and your friend Sheila with her harnesses, you guys have really paid big attention to the really the science of spinning.
Spinning, absolutely. Yes, and it's been great because we're training their vestibular. Everybody, one of the first questions everyone asks me is, how do you stop from being dizzy? Well, you don't stop from being dizzy. Astronauts don't go into the program being able to not be dizzy. They get dizzy. They throw up. They learn to train their vestibular, which in turn trains the core small muscles that wrap around your spine, that align up with your feet, that when you're dizzy, you still have the ability to stay upright and stable, and you train your brain, oh, I'm okay, I'm okay. So it's been a great thing for everyone, not only young athletes, but adults as well. The whole spinning thing works great for, you know, people with vertigo, autism. They're finding out that concussions, coming back from concussions, to actually continue to slowly rotate and get used to being dizzy and finding your center of balance and knowing where you are in space and time. It's been huge. This spin board and spinning has branched out in many ways that I didn't even dream of happening. So it's pretty
exciting. Doesn't surprise me. All these decades, when I first started working with the famous kinesiotherapist Bob Guida, who would see the John McEnroes and the Walter Paytons and the Jimmy Connors, and all these superstars, and he was huge into balance training. We would call it instability training, where we would create imbalance. Imagine balancing on a mini tram in different areas or a BOSU, and that, like you were mentioning in spinning, works every muscle you own, all the stabilizers and the brakes. So that whole vestibular training, as I've spoken to both you gals and some others, where I try to keep learning with all these great guests, where we would really, really see the relationship to working with physically challenged kids like autistic people. One of our teammates on the whole Hey Sports Parents of Sports Doctors In world, Suzanne Gray, has written a couple of books on exercise and autism and how valuable the exercise is. And, you know, balance goes all the way to where we're talking with our seniors.
Absolutely.
And the whole topic is fall prevention.
Yes.
And that whole world. So, although I don't know if I could see an 82-year-old maybe doing, you know, double spins and landing on a jump. No, I'm kidding.
I was laughing. I went, I should have sent you a spin board. We should have had a spin lesson before we did this talk show. That had been a hoot.
Absolutely. But I've been around that kind of exercise training conceptually for decades. And that's why it didn't surprise me at all, again, whether we were working with a very, very new beginner or we were working with some of these athletes who are doing an incredible amount of spinning and then have to land and explode in one direction or another. What's the website, Kim, people find out about this, your boards?
It's kimspinergy.com. Yep.
Okay. It is Kim, KimSpinergy.com?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes. All right, great. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go back years in radio shows, endless array of guests and topics from all over the world on everything from nutrition to fitness to high performance to injury prevention, concussions, et cetera. The mental training, we talk about so much of these different topics. Listen to whatever you'd like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read an endless array of articles. What's the best shoe? What about specialty training? And one of my most popular articles, which is Women in High Heels, talking about balance and stability. And again, we got over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I get so many guests from Twitter. We publish a lot of great information at Sports Doc DOC Radio. We're talking with Kim Ryan, figure skating coach. Where are you at, Kim? Your rinks?
I'm based out of Seattle, but I work for coaches. I don't have any clients or students of my own. Coaches bring me in to work with their elite athletes, their young athletes. I teach instructors as well. So I am so blessed to be working with the professionals in my industry. And it's wonderful to collaborate. So,
it's interesting.
Seattle.
Yes, it's so interesting. And one of my popular controversial topics in my book, Hashtag Sports Parents, is called the prodigy sports. Prodigy sports is after everybody spends all day telling these boys and girls, we do not want you to only play one sport. We want you to play many sports. And we all agree, unless you're a figure skater or a gymnast or a ballet dancer or sometimes others, where we start to see these kinds of challenges. And I think when you're working with some of these skaters and some of these high performance kids, it really becomes a challenge to deal with, whether it's their coaches, whether it's their parents, whether it's their families, which is why I always ask coaches like you, Kim, how your sports psychology skills are.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm so excited. Yeah, go ahead.
That's what I'm, when you're working with your coaches, there's lots of expectations. There's lots of tendency for overuse, overdoing things when we're talking competitions. I would imagine you work with all ages in the world of figure skating. How young do you see them?
Probably the youngest is about 3 to 5 years old. They have to have good communication skills before they can start training. I'm really excited about seeing what happens to these skaters after they've worked on all of these off-ice skills when we come out of COVID. When they get to be back on the ice, they have been working muscles and skills that they don't normally work on at this level. So it's going to be exciting to see them go back. They're going to be excited to go back on the ice and gain all of these new skills.
I recall at the U.S. Nationals this past January, I had two skaters and they were medalists in the pairs, Jessica Cavallang, Danny O'Shea. So I was there rooting like crazy where everybody else when it comes to watching sometimes. I mean, Jessica was 11 years old when I first saw her. So sometimes when we see some of these kids become very, very special, then it's very, very exciting to see. You know, I'm always looking for my next gold medalist, aren't you?
You're sort of cutting in and out. I missed some of that. Sorry.
Really? I was wondering if you were always looking for your next gold medalist like I am.
Oh, you're cutting out. I can't hear you. Sorry. Let's try that again.
Well, he'll patch it together. Let's see if we can. We must be coming to the end of the segment anyway, Doug. Dr. Bob, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Couple of glitches, but that's the fun and excitement of live radio. And we're talking with Kim Ryan, national international figure skating coach. She's a spin specialist. She's really working with coaches and some of these kids as early as like 5, 6, 7 years old. And we were talking about the addition of spinning, balance, precision, stability. And the challenge, you know, these kids, these skaters, Kim, have been off like the rest of the world for, it's like a couple of months already. All the rinks have been shut down here. And you mentioned something very interesting, which is some of these skaters, maybe a lot of them are working, doing the best they can to try to stay in shape, maybe strengthening differently than they have had before. It's probably, if anything, a silver lining is a rest with some of these skaters because there's so much overuse. But, you know, how about your rinks? When are they expecting to have skaters?
Well, there are a couple of the rinks local are talking about having 10 skaters on the ice to start with and maybe 4 coaches. Kids will only be able to be in lessons. They'll just put their skates on in the car, come into the rink, leave the rink, lessons only, and masks on. Not even being able to use the restroom, so I'm not touching
anything.
How
long do you know?
So I'm not sure how this
Kim,
is going to work.
How long do you know? How long have you and Sheila been friends? Sheila Thielen, who was on the radio, and both of you guys work in this vestibular spin world. How long have you guys been involved?
Let's see. We've known each other now for 20 years? Yes, 20 years. We've been doing clinics and seminars together. I'm really blessed. I get to go to Minnesota about 3 or 4 times a year. Lots of skating in Minnesota. It's very popular. So I go help coaches and kids and do clinics and seminars and stay for an extra few days and then do private lessons. So,
are you part, Kim, of that online education group?
Yes. I coach? Yes.
Yeah, so what is that?
What
is that called again?
It's iCoachSkating.com, and it is a subscription-based learning application for parents, skaters, coaches. There are videos of every subject and matter from on-ice to off-ice type training. They just lately have included off-ice spin board training, which is really unique. The spin board has been around for a very long time, but
nobody has developed a technique of using them that will utilize the skills that they have on the ice for the off-ice speedboard training.
And yes.
Because I specialized, I had the time to do that. So it's been awesome. And I've been training coaches because my business is flourishing, and I've been training coaches so that they can have an income during this time, so that they can train their own kids with. I've been teaching them, webinars and Zoom and FaceTime, and then sending them videos. And it's been pretty exciting to help them still
Great.
Have an income.
Yes. You could turn, there's a chapter in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and it's called The Two Essential Exercises, and skating is right smack in the middle. One is rubber band strengthening of the feet and ankles routinely. I don't care who the skater is or what their level or age is.
Yes.
The other one is working balance, like we talked about, doing stability work, tilt boards, BOSU, these kinds of things. And in order to really, really strengthen those stabilizer systems. So you let them know in this group if they want some info from the sports doctor, they give me a buzz. Right, Kim?
Yes, absolutely. I will. You know? And I was very excited to be asked with this wonderful group of instructors and doctors. Thank you very much for inviting
and
me.
And I think, the challenge again of youth sports, where, you've been in decades,
yes.
Peggy Flemings and the Katarina Witts and the Dorothy Hamels, none of them did triple jumps. Now we have 13-year-olds working on quads. The physicality is similar to me talking to my first guest. We were talking about the world of youth tennis, where we have three times the athleticism, and we really have to pay attention to try to do our primary goal, which is to stay out of these overuse and repetitive motion injuries. And that's what I've been screaming about in the world of figure skating. Again, like you, 40 years, give or take a few weeks. Really.
Yes. Yes. We used to have figures. So when we had figures, then we were training our core, those small muscles, the fine muscles. And when figures went away, they were doing overuse, lots of jumping, using the big muscles. And if they didn't do any cross training of any sort to build and sustain those small muscles and balance, then we had seen a lot of injuries, a lot of back injuries, a lot of injuries that we didn't see in the past. So, and from what skates they're wearing, synthetic versus leather skates, alignment of blades, alignment of feet and orthotics, same thing, making sure they're all aligned, that the body is working in one, mind, body, spirit.
Yes. So. There's not any shock absorption in skating, really. You have the ice, a metal blade, a boot that's almost mm-hmm. like a cast, and it's been very yes. difficult to get some shock absorption added to the world of figure skating. And in a lot of ways, it's become a jumping contest. And one of our real challenges was to let these off-ice coaches know to back off the sprinting and the jump roping and the box jumping, because these kids already were doing so many jumps on the ice, and that's always been a big challenge. And again, all sorts of stability work. Every time someone spins on one of your boards, they're working the landing muscles and the stability muscles, which are so key, because so much of this stuff is overuse and overkill, and that's been one of the big challenges. It's been a feature of the sports doctor in these youth sports, which is to, hey, let's get a handle on this. How old was the national women's U.S. Returning champion? Was she like 14 and a half this past year, Kim?
Are you talking about?
The women's United States figure skating champion this past January. Like a 15, 14 and a half year old kid.
Yes. Alyssa Liu.
So
yes.
That,
yes.
No further explanation needed. When we're again talking about what we could do in that regard. And that's what I like about the Spinergy, because besides the skill itself, you're really working all of these balance areas. which are so key when we're talking about so much jumping. I remember the figures where people were right. They'd skate in these big circles, and they would work on edges. And then the judge would come out with their magnifying glass, you know, and they'd look at the edge. I thought that was nuts.
Yes, it was. And it took, we spent equally as much time doing figures as we did freestyle. So
yeah.
The other thing,
were you a skater yourself,
Kim?
Were you a skater yourself?
Yes. Oh, yes, of course, yes.
How old were you when you
older,
got,
actually.
How old were you when you got started being serious?
I was 10 when I started, and 13 when I really figured out that I wanted to do this. So I was fortunate to progress pretty rapidly, really motivated to practice and work hard. So, yes.
That you're right smack in the middle again of what we're talking about and the challenge of the youth sports and the figure skating world. You know, again, 10 years old, by 13 years old, maybe skating every day, 5-6 days a week, doing jumping, getting even more aggressive. And that's exactly sometimes one of the challenges, let alone the mental side of things. You know, how many overzealous parents or coaches have you met, Kim? Right.
Quite a few.
I think
I had a couple of lessons today where the parents wanted them to have a spin board lesson more than the kid wanted to have it. So, yes, it happened.
Yes, and I you know, it definitely is an ongoing challenge, you know, the all of youth sports, the whole Hey Sports Parents world, where, again, whether it's scholarships that people are shooting for, or I think my kid's going to be the next Evan Lysacek, or all of these kinds of challenges. And one of the big chapters in my book, Kim, Youth, Sports, and Drugs, where many of these growing kids, they're living on over-the-counter pain medicine because they're trying to stay in the game. Give me the website one more time, Kim, because we're about out of time.
It's kimspinergy.com, and you can go there to see what we're doing. There's videos to show you how to spin. Spin boards are there. All the information is on kimspinergy.com.
Fantastic. Kim Ryan, national, international figure skating coach. Kim, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Talk.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor and the Sports Doctor's In segment. We're going to talk a little bit about some upcoming guests. We might grab an email or two. Want to give you some update. Again, just today, Ian Goldberg has been a frequent guest of ours, the CEO of iSport360, that great app for parents and youngsters and coaches. And his newsletter today, we had a great article about our new venture, the Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctor's In. You want to find out what that's all about, again, which is basically I'm going to be like a quarterback, the doctor quarterback, where I will be answering questions from sports parents and or coaches about their own kids and leading them in the direction, whether it's answering questions, coming up with a plan myself from the sports medicine side of things, or it's recommending one of my many guests to a part of my team, whether it's nutrition, whether it's physical or mental training, whether it's coaching, parenting, so many different experts. www.thesportsdoctor.online. Matter of fact, one of my team members next week, believe it or not, the 6th of May, John Ang, he is the son of the founder. He's the director of operations of National Alliance of Youth Sports, this fantastic organization that is so involved in educating coaches and working with individuals, really the official voice of youth sports in so many ways. And he's going to be joining me. And then Matt Dahl. Matt is the creator of this fantastic Sand Dune Stepper. If you want to find out what that's all about, go to Sand Dune Stepper at Instagram. You'll really see the ability of simulating walking, balancing, running, moving in the sand. The following week, stem cell regenerative medicine specialist, Dr. Matt Voigt, and then another member of my team, Kirk Mango. He's the author of Becoming a True Champion. He's the next NCAA gymnastics champion, longtime gym teacher, coach. Then he'll be joining us. And let's see here where we had that initial question. It's funny, we talked about it before. Dr. Weil, you mentioned that the universal type exercises, something you recommend for youth athletes, regardless of their age or sport or level, and talk a little bit about that. You know, I talk about two particular concepts. This is not the only workout this boy or girl will do, but this is including strengthening the feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to do it. You can ball and socket-like joint, the foot ankle, most commonly injured area in sports, ankle trouble, strengthening those feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to do it. And the second type exercise, speaking about the sand dune, is balance. Creating instability and working balance. Picture yourself on tilt boards. Imagine yourself standing and balancing in different areas of a mini trampoline. So these kinds of exercises, I think I still have some slides of the Super Bowl 85 Bears and McEnroe balancing on these mini trampolines. I got to look them up. So there definitely is some real value in preventing trouble. I've never met an athlete with overdeveloped ankles. It's almost always a problem area. So strengthen those ankles. Work balance. Your core, your mid and low back, your hips, your knees, your ankles, all of these areas are called in to use when you create imbalance. Paula was talking about, why is there so much overuse in youth sports? You know, Paula, you're right in line with what we were talking about with both of our guests. You know, youth sports is a $20 billion, with a B, billion-dollar a year business, coaching, traveling teams, all sorts of levels, earlier and earlier in many instances. It's got plenty of critics in so many different areas. And one of the criticisms is, right out of my co-authored book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with former Hall of Famer, Volleyball Hall of Famer Sharpie Zartman, is the pressure and the epidemic of overuse injuries. Physically, whether it's pitchers with arm trouble, whether it's these running athletes, soccer, basketball, baseball, all sorts of lower extremity injuries, other areas. Overuse, overdoing it, too much, too aggressive, and the mental side. Again, whether we're talking about overzealous coaches, overzealous parents, That's a big, big part of that concern of overuse. And many times, one of the unfortunate side hassles with this is one of the chapters, which is youth sports and drugs, where we have adolescents maybe living on the Advils and the Naprosyns and the aspirins in order to continue to play or continue to go to practice. And it's always been one of the main points I make to parents. If your son or daughter needs over-the-counter pain medicine to participate, you're over the line. Doesn't mean there aren't exceptions if supervised with the doctor who might be dealing with that boy or girl. You know, he might take Advil for a week because of blah, blah, blah. But the routine use, the dependence on these products is a major concern. And a lot of it, again, is overuse. Whole new category with sometimes this early specialization where we would talk about repetitive motion injuries. Talking about that with my first Dr. Thomas, talking about the sport of tennis, some of these adolescents. And again, imagine you're swinging the racket 10,000 times a week. No wonder your shoulder and elbow hurts. You know, repetitive motion is sometimes one of these big deals. Gary says, my 14-year-old son has been playing hockey since he was 89 years old. He's always had problems on the back of the heels. He's got those bumps. What about that? You know, Gary, it's not that unusual. We see it in figure skating also. When the bump itself is part of that heel bone, it's called Haglund's deformity, Haglund syndrome. But almost always, these problems are motion-related. Too much rotation of the heel, like with that flat-type foot, rubbing on the back of the boot of the skate. So what we recommend is, number one, punch. Have the bootmaker punch out the back of that boot where that bump is. And then number two, look seriously, especially if this problem, it hurts them, it bothers them, but ongoing, you really want to look. The great news is I've been putting orthotics in skates for this for 3.5 decades with great success. We control the motion, punch out the area, no more problem. So this is something that is you want to pay big attention to. Almost, I can't remember the last time we were looking at something that had to be a surgical problem. So if that's recommended, see somebody else. Tina says, I see you're very excited about the new MVP Parent Magazine. Can you talk about that a little bit? You know, Tina, the MVP Parent Magazine is published by Rich Dubin. Rich is the publisher of Low Extremity Review. They just celebrated their 10th anniversary. He's been in the world of publishing for podiatry, for biomechanics for 3 decades. He's a sports dad, very excited about keeping these kids in the game. MVPmagazine.com. Check it out. I've got some feature articles. Thanks, everybody. Stay safe. Stay informed. Stay strong. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.